when it comes to spam, there's the right way, and then there's the wrong way.
How far would you go?
Alvin, he loves only gold. So time for a new mission.
Hail from the not to scale, as fuel goes cheap.
Colonic corvette crash causes consternation.
Drought, blight, space locusts.
News from the community in any event.
There was minor panic earlier this week in the Hutton control room as communication channels were flooded with sales messages from a company purporting to be purveyors of that popular 20th century pork product, spam. What at first was a suspected cyber attack by parties unknown, though as spam was so popular on Earth, fingers were pointed at the EDF, actually turned out to be a viral marketing campaign. Robbie Wrongway, longtime trucker and aide to the galaxy's most popular pilot, Flossie, had received a mysterious communication from an archaeological team down on old Earth who had discovered an underground bunker stuffed to the rafters with tinned-formed pork product, bearing the one-time famous logo of Spam. In a nearby alcove was a gourmet recipe book detailing countless ways to serve your tin Spam, from Spam and chips, Spam egg and chips, Spam Spam egg chips and cheese, Spam on toast, Spam fritters and Spam surprise. Which is just Spam and a fork, the surprise being that there isn't anything else. The communication detailed a get-rich plan to flood the market in nearby systems with this long-forgotten but apparently much-loved foodstuff. But it hinged on one thing. Exciting everyone about the possibilities of spam. Searching Galweb, using the keyword spam, Wrongway found countless articles about the very best way to send spam, and duly clicked on most of them. Which of course started spamming everyone about spam. Spam on Galtwit, spam on Galbook, spam was sent everywhere. Pictures, links to articles about the health benefits, clickbait articles stating, this woman tried spam for the first time and you wouldn't believe what happened next. Unfortunately, Wrongway's marketing was so good that it even went as far as to secure servers, theoretically air-gapped against external data feeds and the quarantined Mr. Dusty virus, which gobbled up the spam and turned it into a self-replicating message, leaving the winking words on everyone's screen, give me your spam. Commander Snuggles McKeague sprang into action with his trusty industrial-sized delete button and a team of boffins expert in the removal of such things, and Hutton computer terminals were soon declared spam-free. As for Robbie Wrongway, well, he can be found in his Type 9 with 900 tons of the stuff and a fork, in the hopes he can get rid of the rest of it before Flossie gets home.
Now, you may think it's a long way down the road to the chemist, but that's just peanuts to how far Commander Oll thought he'd have to fly this week. There he was, minding his own business, looking for settlements on 14 PSI Cancri 4A, when his scanner seemed to have received a little more than a Grade 5 engineering upgrade, as he found a load of surface installations that were just a little further than usual. To be exact, 9,223,323,356,855,708 light years. A bit further than Hutton orbital, in fact. 41,924,418,349,339,890,036 times further than a trip to Hutton. So just think on Next time, an hour and a half seems like a long trip. Commander Orr declined to fly to these places since it would take about 146 million years at 2001 C to get there. And indeed, the distance is about 100 million times the size of the observable universe. So he'd need a heck of a load of changes of underwear. The gin is bound to run out before you get there, and we're willing to bet that there'd be no chance of a McThargoid burger when you got there. Still, someone would tell you that they're floating 45 minutes, and hundreds of suckers would go if they were told that they'd get a free fleet carrier. As it turns out, it's lucky that he didn't set off, as Commander Orr later reported that all this was down to a navigation error by a new crew member who'd spilled coffee over the console as he was piloting. Apparently, we think he's decided that the previous crew member did a better job, as he says he's reverted to an earlier driver and the problem's been fixed.
If you're thinking of cashing in some exploration data, now is the time! For the next 8 weeks, it could count towards Going for Gold 3, a new Hutton exploration event in association with the Hutton Helper. The previous Galactic Squadron competition period ended this morning and Hutton was 7th, without really trying much, with 4.5 billion points or 9 billion credits. Yeah, I know. No, I don't know why either. But anyway, the leaders, the Germans, had 15 billion points, not credits. Oh, this is going to get confusing. Our glorious leader Alvin has decreed that an extension be built to the Hutton Trophy Cabinet, and since he loves only gold, you can work out the rest for yourself. The last time Hutton did this was January 3307, so it was somewhat overdue, and you might get a lovely trophy for your cockpit dash. If you want to join in, you need to do three things. First, have the Hutton Helper running, download it from hot.forthemug.com, and if you haven't done that already, why not? Second, be in the Hutton Squadron, that's H-U-T-T, for your efforts to count towards our overall collective tally. Third and last, sell cartographic data in the usual way between 0700 this morning, Thursday, 26th of May 3308, and 0700 on the 21st of July 3308. That might sound a long time away, but it's only 8 weeks, so get out there and get busy. I see a couple of you already dumped some carto data and wipe clean your slates. Exploration credits will count towards your personal haul and the overall Hutton tally, tracked as ever by those marvellous techno wizards behind the Hutton Helper curtain. Just look in current events on the Hutton Helper and you will see the Going for Gold 3 tracker page. Which club will you be in? Do you even want to be in a club? Why would you not want to be a member of a club that would let you in? Already, some chuckers have answered the call. Reports that a commander of the leak-munching persuasion between bouts of insulting the Earth Defence Fleet will venture into the black in something he describes as an explorer sidey, whatever one of those might be. Still, it's not about the size of your jump range, it's about the carto credits you rake in. If you're a bit rusty on exploration or have never tried it, if you don't know your DSS from your FSS, Commander Chicks will be along later and for the next 3 weeks, because we can get a bit better deal on him that way, to give you some tricks and tips to maximise your exploration credits haul. Finally, those chuckers whose contribution is deemed significant will receive a token of the esteem in which they are held by Alvin. Those truckers who were conspicuous in less distinguished ways, for example jumping into a system and getting fry to a crispy pop between two stars, or those that faceplant their ship into a planet may even receive a mention in dispatches.
We received an appeal for assistance this week via a Galtwit post, and, as Hutton truckers do, we sprang into action to assist one particular commander. It appears that due to an extended sabbatical, and potentially pending porting of his pilot's license from hotbox-style systems to a PC, a commander codenamed Regression to the Mean inquired as to how Hutton might help him offload his carrier in advance of it being mothballed for a while. The carrier's coordinates, 20,000 tons of tritium, all legitimately obtained. Enough for a few laps around the Milky Way, with enough spare thereafter for a trip one-tenth of the way to Andromeda, where, of course, you'll be stranded with no possibility of rescue, so, yeah, we don't recommend that. With his sabbatical pending over the next few ways, and loath to just flush the entire contents to space and set fire to it just for the heck of it, the commander of the carrier not to scale flew the carrier to Epsilon Indy, stuck a price tag of the never-to-be-beaten-at-this-price variety on the cargo, and opened the carrier to any waiting Hutton trucks to assist with the offloading. Like the dutiful truckers that we are, or possibly like sharks sniffing for blood, truckers arrived en masse, including Commanders Aiden, Snuggles McKeag, Flossie, and others. And the Hutton hot bus. This is where things started to get a little out of hand. The tritium went, then the contents of the bar went, then all the toilet rolls from the on-carrier facilities. Some enterprising trucker bought a socket set with an oxyacetylene torch, the wall cladding, the padded seats in the bar, the little projectors that shine the pad numbers in the air, the captain's chair, complete with the little screen, the captain's coffee machine from the ready room, even the empty pizza boxes laying around in the docking bay. When the commander had asked for his carrier to be emptied, we're not sure he meant quite this thoroughly. He has asked for the safe return of his 0G 10-pin bowling trophies and one small cuddly toy bear, who answers to the name of Mr. Hugs, for sentimental reasons. We have reason to believe that said fluffy comforter might be currently aboard the Hutton Hot Boss en route to Colonia. The guilty party has said that Mr. Hugs just needed a holiday, and after a few selfies at Fort Mug, would be taking the next hot bus home. We're just hoping that the pet snakes don't snack on him in the meantime. Commanders Flossie and Hanky are said to be replete with fuel now and ready for just about anything, as long as it involves an awful lot of fuel.
Hanky Prime, first of all the Hankies. Or is it Hankies? Anyway, found himself on the wrong side of Colonia's legal system this week after playing dodgems with a local whore. It probably wouldn't have been so bad if he had been in a heavily armoured federal corvette at the time. The self-proclaimed Emperor of all the Colonias had recently reconfigured his cockpit control, so instead of beginning the process of printing a 3D hot dog, extra onions, extra cheese, extra hot dog, the big red button boosted him through the letterbox, much to the consternation of an incoming holopilot, who started his approach with 12 tons of bio-waste behind him and ended it with 14 tons. A strangled whimper was all that could be heard from the pilot as Hanky's behemoth impacted on the small yellow ship, sending it and its unfortunate pilot careening around the slot like a pinball before exploding, well, popping, against the wall. Now, station defences don't care if you're the grandest of all the grand poobahs or if you're a pilot in a near unstoppable juggernaut death machine. They take a dim view of big ships smashing up little ships in the letterbox. You could say that station defences take a psychotically violently dim view of it, in fact. And so was the case with Hanky. No amount of thermal-resistant deep-plated armour could change the outcome once the big guns turned on him. Boom splat, and off he went to the detention facility to pay off his debt to society. Upon being released from his escape pod, he made the standard grovelling apology video that we all have to make, paid off his bounty, his fine, and insurance claims on both the ships. So, after hovering around in the social area playing Pac-Man for a while, his replacement ship finally arrived. The Exalted One then boarded his royal transport and prepared to resume his journey several million credits poorer than he had started the day. It was only when he set his course that he realised he was some 314 light years from home and didn't have a fuel scoop. Not to worry. Surely such a well-stocked and well-maintained facility would have something in outfitting. Right? Right? Well, they did. But as detention facilities don't like to make things easier for the criminal fraternity, they only stocked a 1E scoop. So his choice was to fit it and fly back very, very slowly, or to get a taxi home and have his corvette delivered to civilization at great personal cost. We left them to it at that point and got an Apex.
I'm not sure that I can remember a week where more adverse states have afflicted random, normally quiet Hutton systems. We've had discontent, blight, drought, more discontent, more drought. What next? Space frogs, locusts? Still, things have settled down somewhat towards the end of the week, but more on those stories coming up. Barnard Star is on 32% and, as usual, at the bottom of the Hutton systems table. An infrastructure failure affecting half of the system factions was cleared midweek, opening up the commodities markets. A civil war for second place is about to break out between the usual suspects, which will tie up a third of the influence, making it harder to move. But it doesn't look like we shouldn't try. Epsilon Eridani seems to be stuck around 38 after recovering from its recent outbreak, and Epsilon Indy hovers a point above it on 39. Avik has gone a third week without a war, and the 20-point gap to Sirius tells me that Li Yongri has bigger things to worry about, like stronger hair gel for his ridiculous quiff. Bring it, LYR, if of course you think your quiff is hard enough. The blight in Alpha Centauri was cleared in the last couple of days. Thanks go to Commander Aiden, who had stocked his fleet carrier, Alvin's Mercy, with agronomic treatment and put it on station in the system. Two systems, Ross 671 and LP245-10, have been affected by a drought. Without a water world in either system, parched citizens were forced to turn to their booze cabinets, which have been particularly hard hit. When contacted for a comment, a spokesman for Ross 671 giggled a lot. There was a crash of furniture as he fell off his chair, and then he was heard to fart and snore loudly. The drought in LP245-10 has been cleared, and citizens have asked that visiting commanders do so quietly, as they have a bit of a thick head. The drought and boozy partying in Ross 671 continues. Thanks also to those commanders who turned arms dealers and sold weapons to the system authority in Leuton 145-141 to help root out the terrorist cells there. Reports from the system are somewhat garbled, but apparently the terrorists made a last stand in the Euclid Station Zoo, where security forces successfully managed to shoot the gorillas and rescue the ostriches. At the overachieving end of the Hutton systems table, we have just four systems above 60%. Remember, don't boost or jump dump data into systems that are above 60%. Operation Jump to a Dump concluded in LP715-52, where the Roughnecks very kindly handed us our arses, for which we thanked them and withdrew gracefully. Priorities this week are if you want to truck something, clear the drought in Ross 671 and boost Barnard Star. If you want to shoot something, blow the cobwebs off your scanners and go for gold.
We love bringing you news of Mutilus events, and we hope that you enjoy hearing tales of far-flung places and events closer to home. This week we've heard from The Nexus Initiative, Does the Sun Still Rise in the East in the East, 5-Year Tours, and the Jitomira Void Expedition. Links will as always be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. Commander Caboose has reported that the Gary Hogan is in dry dock at the moment and won't be going anywhere until the Pilots Federation are ready to provide the ability to add space legs for the Xboxes. However, if anyone wants a break from the real galaxy and would like to play a video game, apparently the Legacy of Dawn will be hosting a welcome event in something called Star Citizen for anyone who wants to try and experience the free-to-play weekend with a crew. Commander of the Presence is and with an entirely peduncle-free report. It is, does the stun still lie in the east? In the east. Week 12.
Commander of the Presence here again, and I'm nowhere near where I thought I'd be. In my hubris, I thought I'd be able to finagle my way directly across the Tenebrae sector to my next waypoint by staying as close to the level of the galactic plane as possible, and then use copious amounts of Jumponium, manually plotting star by star. I managed to get across about 800 light years of the 6,500 needed when all the lights went out, leaving me about 100 jumps short of the next set destination. With my tail between my legs and the area in my cockpit as blue as a really blue thing, I reversed course and started looking at how to follow the Huntsman and Silver Taffer to waypoint 11, the DSSA carrier Deus Vult, and from there to waypoint 12, Magellan Star. It was time to break out the new toys, and I reached for the box that said incredibly helpful and useful ED Interactive Astrometrics map, courtesy of those lovely people at edastro.com. Using the heat map, I could instantly see the futility of my initial course. There was literally nothing there. Indeed, my next targets were on some kind of a horn on the eastern edge of the Milky Way, making my proposed route a nonsense and leaving me quite the detour down, round and back up again. I sincerely hope the other commanders left trying to reach Deus Vault and Magellan Star, commanders Junagu, Walsander, Kahek Rus, and Godtar, can avoid my fate, although 99% of the systems I am now travelling through are already discovered, so I'm certainly not the first person to get caught out this way. Until next week, 07!
We went to collect Commander Hunter's contributions to this week's show, but there was no sign of him. The doors were locked, the labours were looking at us through net curtains, but we found this note pinned to his door.
By the time you hear this, the 5 euro tour's journey will be underway. Indeed, it started a few hours ago, but there's still room to join us on this amazing journey to the centre of the galaxy. Sign up at bit.ly/5 euro tours return and get flying. Join the Discord if you're looking for a chat across multiple platforms.
Commanders Quietech 2001 and Noob Queen had great fun with all the members of the Chimera Void Expedition, with a destination of Suppositus Beacon, thought to be the most distant reachable system from the centre of the galaxy. Here's the expedition report.
Gigantic metal beasts began roaring, and the frameshift drives spinning to life. A moment of significance began sinking in, marking the commencement of the journey into the deep void. In the bellies we were, of the FC Chimera, accompanied by FC Spirit of the North. Some commanders grew anxious as it was their first taste of the great emptiness. Exploring the unknown of the farthest reaches of our galaxy, the final destination, Suppositus Beacon, awaited. During the traverse, some discovered another fascinating destination worth setting foot in, the bar. Commanders conversed and drank while the journey continued. Pristine systems and astronomical bodies were discovered, the beauty of the universe captured, drinks poured for the Rattos, people, and Thargoids alike. Although he denies it, some speculate Commander Quietech, leader of the expedition, made some strikingly familiar noises. After days of jumps and an immeasurable amount of patience, we arrived. Leaving the safe confines of the bar, then jumping into our ships, numerous engines roared to life, eagerly launching into the profound silence of the void. Some were overwhelmed by the big black and the galaxy's silhouette, clear and bright in the distance. We were ecstatic. But the silence and emptiness were slowly taking its toll on us. We were zipping and flying around the fleet carriers we temporarily called home, then jumping in unison to destinations unknown. There was screaming and shouting, but all in a trance of excitement and jubilee. Then we finally returned to the two steel beasts we came to call home. Then went to sleep, lulled by more drinks with some strange berries someone found on the way. Before we knew it, we were heading back to civilization, feeling sorry to leave this remarkable yet empty space behind. Thus, the Chimera Void expedition slowly became history, recorded and saved, to inspire the next group of commanders to visit the Suppositus Beacon.
And as we bid farewell to the Chimera Void expedition, we've got a video of their final mass jump. Do you know of any others? Do you know how to use email? If the answer to both of these is yes, then email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and tell us what we've missed.